Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
And welcome to the NXT 2.0 review. I'm Will Vaughan from What Culture, joined by the Dudley Boys of What Culture. This wise guy, Michael Hamlin. This wise guy, Michael Sidgwick. So, it's gone into full gimmick already. Okay, into tonight's episode of NXT 2.0. Before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from. Wrestling podcasting, including anything. SmackDown and AW Rampage, AW Dynamite, pay-per-views, interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week, complete with a Blake quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. I really hope this isn't someone's first What Culture Wrestling podcast.
It'll be that way.
Anyway, I'm joined by Ablin Sidgwick to look ahead to NXT 2.0, our favourite show of the week, by the sound of this. We have such good fun.
Yeah, it's loads of fun. My God, we were doing the Rampage preview earlier, and it was a good, uneven, kind of a tiring show. And I watched it in increments from Saturday morning through to Sunday night, and it's now Tuesday. I'm forgetting all the bloody spots they did. And I honestly, it's one of my things I like pride myself on. Like, I'd like to go through the story of the match. I feel like on this podcast, what we do better than anyone out there is analyze the story beats. We tell you specifically why the individual performances are so great, what they're trying to get across, why the booking is as deft as it is. And honestly, sometimes it gets exhausting. Sometimes you think, have I done that match dirty, or did that match give me nothing? You know, our pride genuinely drives and sometimes affects our content. Team of the matches with a bunch of green assholes on NXT 2.0. It's so easy to review. There's very little to say other than, hey, look green. You look green in 2 minutes. She looked a bit green in 2 minutes, and goddammit, there's going to be some.
And the background looked pretty bloody green as well.
For 2 minutes, and then it changed.
It's just an easy watch. It's an easy show to analyze because there's very little to analyze. It's an even easier show to rip the piss out of. Like, in a professional capacity, NXT 2.0 is a joy to review.
It is night and day, isn't it, compared to the gritty skulls we used to have to talk about. A bag of wank, that, wasn't it?
Yeah, you are. So it was, that was a really great episode of NXT, guys. Wank bastard. What a red bastard.
Rip, yeah. How are you feeling about it tonight, Hamlet?
Same. Love these 2 minute squashes where there's like still time for a move to go a bit wrong or a character to not really be fully fleshed out and us to not be able to make sense of it. There is one thing that you've put in the prep notes for this show that genuinely, because NXT 2.0 has moved so fast, feels 100 million years old. There is a development that previously, in the old days of Skulls, Triple H's Skulls NXT, we would have clung on to for dear life. Just to have something fun to talk about, just to have something to have, you know, like a little bit, get a little bit of enjoyment out of. And even then, we were extracting the enjoyment from it. And honestly, the way that this whole world has just been blown up cartoonishly by Vince and Bruce and Kevin Johnny with like those Acme plungers that Wile E. Coyote used to try and use to beat the Roadrunner with. What they've done, Triple H's NXT, has made one of the sort of angles on the show, one of the big things, just feel ancient. I'm already ready to move past it because in a minute, some 6'5" ex-footballer with massive traps is going to come out in a squash, and like the logo for him is going to have more paintball on it. It's great. Just great.
I think we have fun with regardless of the previews. Like, we earnestly enjoy previewing a lot of the AEW shows. You know, Raw has got rapidly better recently. SmackDown's obviously the best wrestling show there is.
Oh, shut up, man.
But NXT was always a bit dry. And yet, this is the first, correct me if I'm wrong, at What Culture WWE on Twitter, this is the first preview. Are we going to have a game?
We're going to have a game. I can't wait for this game.
And I'm going to enjoy this game, and then I'm going to look forward to the payoff on tomorrow's review. This is a hell of a hook across both podcasts, guys. We really stumbled into something here, and I genuinely don't think that we could do this for any other show because, well, we'll get to it later on. Stick around, because we've got three championship matches to preview. So let's start with the women's match, because that's what apparently they said on the previews when we were watching on Extreme Rules. Because I thought they had this... kept playing this advert, right, Extreme Rules, and they were like, NXT 2.0, it's got women, right? And I thought, I said this to Phil on the stream, I was like, oh, wicked, well, at least they're previewing the women's title, Frankie Monet, Raquel Gonzalez. They just forgot about it when they relaunched the show 2 weeks ago, but now they've got the, oh, no, wait a second, look, these women have got lips, do you like them? It was just the most preposterous preview for NXT I've ever seen.
Yeah, is it Cat Car?
Yeah.
It was just, got Boston.
Do you want Gigi Dolin to rub your toes on with a rose? Watch NXT 2.0 and you might... I don't know what they're thinking about.
You were just shouting words back at it, and it was as if you were narrating it. Lips, tits, asses, a few more lips. Like that nose, you know, eyes. We got it all. Zooms, hard zooms on all these body parts.
Outrageous.
A few more lips. There's only
two. I got one more eyebrow. You an eyebrow guy?
So anyway, Raquel Gonzalez, Frankie Monet, NXT Women's Championship. It's got to be a retention here, hasn't it, Hamper? Despite all the changes that we're seeing in NXT?
I don't know, because Raquel Gonzalez currently, to me, is the hardest to predict whether or not she's got a future on 2.0 versus just going to the main roster and being done with it, as it feels like is going to have to be the case for a lot of the like guys from Triple H's vision for NXT. We are 3 weeks in to new NXT, and already whatever was once a big experiment with Raquel Gonzalez trying to get a diesel out of her from her feud with her own Shawn Michaels and Dakota Kai, to ancient history, she has just got a standalone now as this NXT Women's Champion, and I cannot figure out if she's what they want or not. And I think we'll see that tonight in the result. Frankie Monet is absolutely what they want. It matters not that she is pretty rubbish when the bell rings. And if anything, in the Triple H vision of NXT, that felt like that was her done, didn't it? They put all that investment into this character, and then when the bell rang, it didn't really feel like anything lived up to the expectations. And when Triple H had the wheel, you were pretty knackered. You could see somebody getting relegated. It was as if, like, we put the machine behind you and this didn't really take. So you're going to drop right the way down to the lower card. You're going to do daft comedy stuff. You're going to be in pointless angles for a while, and we're going to let you go again in a year's time if you've proven yourself in my performance center. The Nikon probably wants to close down. Like, that was always how it used to go for those talents that didn't quite live up to the expectations that he'd set. These are not those expectations anymore. This is a character fundamentally right out of Vince's wheelhouse, so it's almost not going to matter if the matches fall apart. In theory, it's a retention, but this 2.0, anything can happen. Like, legitimately, I could see Monet winning the title tonight, and this being Raquel Gonzalez NXT swan song.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to talk a little bit later on about the fact that there's a rumor going around that there's going to be a lot of NXT call-ups and NXT involvement in the draft, possibly, like you say, to clear out some of the people in NXT who aren't long for the colourful world that it's become now. Is that affecting your call for this one, Sige?
Yeah, it is. It is. But at the same time, what does that mean? Like, there are certain people who just, like, vanished into the void. Dakota Kai, where on earth is Dakota Kai? Raquel Gonzalez could either join a partner in said void, go onto the main roster. I don't want to bring her up again on the fun podcast. That doesn't make you want to kill yourself. But maybe they've been building Shayna Baszler up for a reason. And that is, I know that one who's really tough and hard. Oh, well, forget about it, because Gonzalez is going to be the one to beat her, and that's why they're building her up. Who the hell knows? Yeah, it feels already like, the last time this was teased, absolute like wreckage happened on the NXT brand in terms of players who were promoted from it and then to Raw, SmackDown. No, just on main event. Like, ridiculous. So I've got no idea what's going to happen. And again, like, the ramifications of the storyline make it hard to predict as well. Like, prospective match quality, I'm not expecting much at all. Gonzalez has barely existed as a babyface.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's fair to say. Monet has got heaters, so there's a potential thread of drama. At the very least, like, in Triple H's NXT, this would have went like 14 minutes and would have badly exposed itself as Frankie Monet was told to do Trope Theatre. This will get its business done very quickly, I expect. I'll call it a title switch. Why not get Gonzalez on that main roster?
Yeah, I think.
I mean, I know why. It's because he's probably got a little bit more work to do, but they never really do that work in the Performance Center anyway. So what does it matter?
And in this new era of Bron Breakker, Von Wagner, and the new Grayson Waller, you see another title change in the... Cruiserweight Championship match, Roddy Strong defending against it. Or are we going to get to see Grayson Waller get chucked around by the Creed brothers afterwards, which is what we all really want to see?
Potentially. Like, I didn't do this for the women's match. There's permutations with Gonzalez versus Monet that make a title retention feel like the way to go. But obviously all of this could be done as we speak, as Vince McMahon gets on the blue and says, right, I'm getting Gonzalez for the draft, because he hasn't made his mind up about the draft. It's Friday, but he hasn't made his bloody mind up. But let's pretend for a second that the draft isn't happening, or all of the plans were firmed up a month ago. And that's the reason why Gonzalez hasn't dropped the title yet, because you got here for another year. As if any of this actually happens. Gonzalez retains, allows Mandy Rose, who was part of Toxic Attraction, one of those heavily pushed matches, heavily pushed acts of 2.0. Gonzalez versus Mandy Rose feels like an NXT 2.0 thing.
Mm-hmm.
Roderick Strong versus any cruiserweight feels like a nothing happening anywhere thing, because there's no cruiserweight division. So you can't go through the roster, the permutations of which cruiserweights have been developed in the background. Like, I'll do it. It's easy shorthand. I don't care anymore about the mutes. Miro, about 3 months ago, we were thinking, who on earth could take that title off him? But it was a good question, because he's so awesome. He's coming across as so invincible. And yet, what a range of the babyface squadron AEW has over there. Cassidy, Jungle Boy, Guevara, Kingston. Millions of baby faces who could theoretically do it. Allen rematch, whatever. This cruiserweight division doesn't exist. Honestly, at this point, if you look at who they are kind of pushing, Ikem and Jiro versus Roderick Strong in the future. Like, Wallace not winning the bloody title. Why a waste of my time? As for the match, it'll probably go 6 or 7 minutes and be bland.
Yeah, I agree. It will be really boring. It's the thing I'm least excited about on this show. Strong will probably avoid what a lot of the old NXT guys will have to endure now, because of Diamond Mine and because of the Creed brothers and because of just their, I don't know, like, there's a kind of a cool energy around that stable. I wouldn't say they feel particularly fresh compared to the character that they've just debuted out of nowhere, but they don't feel as old as the ones that have traveled across from NXT, you know what I mean? They don't feel as stale in this new Technicolor environment. So the Strong Kushida match wasn't that great, you know. So what really can Strong versus Grayson Waller be? They'll be looking for Waller, comma B. I saw your eyes light up when you heard Waller B, because you could do some sort of Australian accent there. But like they'll be looking more, honestly, the people backstage will be looking more for Grayson Waller's fundamentals than anything Roderick Strong does cool. you know, they're not asked about how good the end of Heartache might look, or wow, he really does hit. Bruce Pritchard has never said in his life, man, that guy hits backbreakers out of nowhere. Ever. Like, they'll be looking to see, like, literally how well Grayson Waller can move his left foot. That's what this is. And we get the benefit of that over a 4.5 minute relative squash. It's a partial developmental again now. That's, you know, that's like, at least there's a certain honesty to that compared to what it used to be.
Finally, we've got the NXT Women's Tag Titles on the line. Io Shirai and Zoe Stark defending against Toxic Attraction. I think if I was going to put more money on any of these matches having a title switch, it would be this one. A, it's Toxic Attraction, and we know he's got his, you know, hand on the wheel now. Yeah. And B, it's freeing up Io Shirai. She does drop the title to go into the main roster, which is where she deserves to be. What do you reckon, Hamlet?
Well, I mean, this is my opinion. Like, Toxic Attraction are probably the most dominant force in NXT 2.0. So how Io Shirai and Zoe Stark can compete against that, I don't know. I'd love them to win the titles, because then we can probably just call this Io Shirai, Zoe Stark thing the dead loss that it is. Promote Io Shirai and let Zoe Stark, who was really coming into her own on the Triple H NXT, be in a place that is theoretically their developed talent. Like, have this loss ultimately inform, like, do it in a nice way. Have Toxic Attraction win the titles. It puts them over as, like, we take the piss, dominant force, because it was their wording used over and over again. But it does technically put them across as a dominant force, because they've come in straight away and won the belts. Then have the draft rob Zoe Stark of her ally in Io Shirai. You never need to bother with this. Oh, they just can't get along. And then you're kind of off to the races with a brand new story that is actually rooted in a bit of logic. So it's probably not even the worst thing if they do win the titles. And I get Shirai off the show. She couldn't feel less like she belongs to it. Like, it's not going to be this amazing run that people will hope for on Raw or SmackDown. But, like, there are worse wrestlers than Io Shirai that have made it work. So at least let's see how it goes.
Yeah, and if you want to continue this tag team gimmick against Toxic Attraction for Zoe Stark, she could team with a Sarray, for example, who's had her history with Toxic Attraction as well. And they could actually be friends, I suppose. Yeah, I just want Io Shirai to be on the main roster, Sige.
Yeah. On the subject of Io Shirai, she's going to have to get her working boots on, because I don't have any particularly great feelings about how good this match is going to be. They can do two things, or three. They can get two acts over at the back end of this match. Toxic Attraction, who are really are a dominant force in NXT today, win the women's tag team, NXT women's tag team titles. The Golden Prophecy is later fulfilled when Mandy Rose gets it. They are
finally, the dominant force prophecy is fulfilled.
They are all about pushing the goddamn hell out of this faction. They are in love with Toxic Attraction. So the sooner they get the belts and the gold and the TV time and everything, I think they'll be very impatient with it. I forecast a title change. On the back end of that, you can have Io Shirai finally snap on Zoe Stark. It should be received as a baby face when Shirai goes to the main roster anyway, one would hope. And then following establishing Toxic Attraction, you can then do the traditional NXT star leaves NXT, does business for their ostensible replacement. Everyone kind of gets the deal, so that when Shirai actually goes up to Raw or SmackDown, she doesn't lose anything by having lost her last NXT match. Everyone knows how this thing works. It's like, it's a filmed territory last night in sort of deal. And you theoretically get two acts over three women on the back of this one tag team match. Who the hell knows? Can we get to the funny bits? The title matches, who cares about the wrestling on NXT 2.0?
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode, and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, let's start with the wild no DQ match between B-Fab and Electra Lopez. Hamfler, I'm concerned.
Go on, say it, they both suck.
I'm concerned about this one, yeah.
They're both green and they might not suck in the future.
The stipulation isn't no DQ. It's like, no good. It's just like it's got makings of being a disaster. They have had rotten squash matches when almost everybody has been positioned to look as good as they possibly can in the vein of a 1992 edition of Superstars. Even the blander developmental prospects have been given every opportunity to get themselves over the course of 2 minutes of television time. And B-Fab and Electra Lopez have kind of blown that opportunity each time by making their poor work the talking point. I've never taken a bump in my life. Don't know how to do any of that. But I just sort of feel like if you, as a fan that's watched it for long enough, if you've got 2 minutes and the whole thing, the whole presentation is constructed about you going out there and being a killer, or you going out there and showing whatever it is that you're better at than anybody else, because that theoretically in kayfabe is how every wrestler is supposed to approach this. They've like profoundly failed, profoundly. It's sucked all the heat out of this rivalry that was looking pretty good for a while before the weaknesses of B-Fab and Electra Lopez's games were exposed. Just before 2.0, we all, at different times, wax lyrical about B-Fab was a star in the making. And I made the comparison to Electra Lopez, to China for Electra Lopez for that one power slam spot. Remember on the outside where she rolled the guy back in, and he was beaten because that's how like deadly she is. Or like Phantasma are serious now because they've got somebody that isn't just going to be a goon in squashes. She's going to be a big deal. And then they've exposed the flaws of both these women terribly. It's not the women's fault. Like they should have seen this. Like, this is a billion-dollar wrestling company. They should have seen the faults of these women and obscured them. And instead, they've shown them to the world, and now we're expecting you to buy that the match is going to be any good. It'd be a miracle if this is any good, honestly. Like, no DQ might help, because they might just take all the shortcuts under the sun. But I've got incredibly low expectations.
They should not be wrestling on television at this stage of their development, but it's a developmental show that happens to be on TV. So we're in this weird hinterland yet again. Bad news. The good news is that, as Hamfler points out, weapons allow for shortcuts. And if WWE can do nothing else, they can do a half-decent plunder brawl, having basically cannibalized that genre for the past however many years. Like, they know how
cool it would be if somebody went through a barricade, lads.
Yeah, something cool like that. So the bad news is there's an inherent danger to these matches, and I would not put weapons or like things that are positioned to break falls anywhere near the proximity of two like vastly inexperienced women. I've got a feeling that we are going to see in this sort of brief honeymoon period where people on Twitter like to talk about NXT 2.0 before it becomes boring, which it will. I've got a feeling we're going to see several MP4 clips of this disaster unfolding in staggered format.
Possibly an NXT 2.0 botchers account?
I don't think anyone would do that in a... Because like, there's just the losers hate AEW. The haters and the losers hate AEW, and the Chads don't care about NXT.
We've also got... Well, I mean, we were good enough to book this last week, but they've got around to it eventually. Indexer's honeymoon, Sid. How do you see this one going down?
I'm willing. I don't put across how certain I am this is going to happen. I will. I don't know what I'm going to do. I won't do anything. But I'm certain that the following thing is going to happen. They're going to have a nice romantic meal.
Okay.
Indy Hartwell and Dexter Loomis.
Give me his full name. Dexter Gaylord Loomis.
He said it. Absolutely. What a trap I set for you there. I mean, that is his name.
Not my fault.
Here's what's going to happen. They're going to sit opposite each other in some Florida restaurant. Disguised to not look like it's in Florida. The music's going to play. The mood's going to be right. Candles are going to be lit. It's going to be all very nice. And given what Wade Barrett was talking about last week, cunnilingus. Build on that, this theory of mine, new edgier content. They were effing and jeffing. Mm-hmm. They were talking about eating puss. Dexter Loomis is going to eat a clam. Oyster of some sort. And then Indy Hartwell is going to say, huh? Like clams, do you? I got a clam down here, down under.
What do you think? Well, no, vagina?
You've got, you like, oh, do you like it? You have clams in Florida. Well, I've got a clam down under.
I love this.
It's the best part of the week.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah. You brought me back around there, Cedric, because when you said the mood is right, I started thinking, the mood is right.
It's not Christmas yet.
I know, we're preempting that by months. This was the thing that I, like, again, to reiterate my point from the start, has moved so fast that, like, Index honeymoon patter feels so ancient. Like, we should be watching, like, it's so ancient and, like, related to NXT's past that we should be watching them having full intercourse to the roar of the crowd by CFOs. That's how rooted in NXT's past this is. And there's only been two episodes of 2.0, including the fucking wedding. Like, that's how all of a sudden, like, their honeymoon is going to be broken up by a phone call. It's going to be revealed that it's John Laurinaitis because they've both been drafted. Like, oh. Right, it's just, I like this act, this whole thing, you know, like, has Johnny Gargano's small. Is the gag going to be that he stowed away in their suitcase? And they open the big trunk and Gargano's folded up in there. Hey, guys! Still weirdly trying to get in the way of them having penetrative intercourse. But, like, you know, all the boys, the quartet, the killer quartet, Vince and Kev, Bruce and Johnny, can be like, this does make sense, though, because Gargano is, what was that word we used in the press release? Oh, yes, midget. He is one of them, isn't he? So it would make sense that he would hide in a suitcase and nobody would notice.
I genuinely can't top the clam stuff, so I'm just going to move on because it's spectacular.
It's going to happen.
I've written, and this seems preposterous to suggest, Hamlet, but I've written in our notes, more NXT debuts, question mark, which when you think about just how many there have been in the first 2 weeks is preposterous. And yet, there's again that rumour that NXT is going to be heavily involved in the draft, so we're going to need some more new people. And I'm fairly certain one of the guys who debuted last week has already had that gimmick cancelled.
Yeah, love it. More debuts for me, please. Grayson Waller debuted 2 weeks ago as a manager. They retconned that and he came back as a wrestler and tonight he's getting a Cruiserweight title shot. Why would there not be more debuts on week three of NXT? They have re... So this takes place in a corner of the Performance Center, doesn't it? They gutted the CWC to make the 2.0 arena, this Pat Sharp funhouse creation. I want to believe that they've remodeled the Performance Center. So rather than you walk in at that reception desk that we once saw people tearfully meeting William Regal and signing a contract and ringing their families to say it's happened today, it's just a door that takes you directly into the actual entranceway of the 2.0 arena. And if you just walk in and you do it, you happen to do it on a Tuesday night, nice one. You kind of got yourself a match. That's how, like, Von Wagner was just visiting Universal with family. And he said, is this a ride? I liked wrestling when I was a kid. And William Regal stood by the door. You've impressed me, son. You've got yourself a title. And he's like, I've got to be back at six. We've got a booking at Universal Studios. Like, it's, I love it. More debuts. Debuts every week. Doesn't matter if they don't make sense. They're not dull. They're not boring. So I welcome any debuts they like. Someone might have a funny name. Someone might do a like needlessly dangerous powerbomb variant. I'm all for it.
Before we quickly move on to the game, the closing game, yes, because we are running low on time, there's a big Brock Lesnar-looking dude in the Performance Center called Parker Boudreau, who's yes, been subsequently renamed Haaland because he looks a bit Norwegian, and there's a famous footballer called Haaland at the minute. And I want to see this guy on TV.
Me too.
Because I think his energy is so weird. His online energy is bizarre. He's like, you know, he was like, he was made to leave a Marie's, like one of these, like, weird influence a lot that I'm like, I'm way too old to care about.
I'll swear he DM'd me when we first reported on him potentially signing with WWE. Sorry,
he's so, one yeah, of these people that's like, well, you mean you look like Brock Lesnar and you're a heavily touted prospect. Don't be one of these weird like accounts that you see, these wrestling accounts. I can't really think of Rick Rude. He's great, you stupid hack bastard. You're just trying to get followers, and I hate you for it. He's one of these, like, Parker Boudreau, however many people following him. And, like, he's following, like, 1 million people. And it's like, how many accounts do you meet there, brother? Or what does your feed look like? So he follows all these people. Follow me back for great content. It's like, you look like Brock Lesnar. Can you imagine Brock Lesnar doing this, you idiot bastard? And then, like, just this thing. You know the purple devil emoji thing?
I don't like it.
I don't like that. Like, and he goes, he builds up all of these followers. Like, just following all these people, follow me back. Then they follow him back. Then he does the purple devil and goes, unfollow spree, ? And it's like, what are you, why? Lesnar would never do this. So, like, he's going to, I hope he comes back. I hope to hell he debuts on TV doing something as weird as this.
Yeah, yeah.
A weird guy, and I need to see that energy on telly.
Unfollow spree.
He does. It's weird.
If I'm not
Did you see that the best thing about warping to Finn Balor was that Fiend's mind's back?
Yes. Yeah.
He called him an Irish bitch.
Right, should we finish up with our game?
Yes, please.
I'm just getting to my character. Hey!
Can't think of one.
Hey, yeah, where's the next one?
We've talked a lot about NXT debuts, and yet the best character hasn't actually debuted in the ring yet, and that's Tony D'Angelo, huh? The best character on a Tuesday night. Now, we've seen Tony. He's been on the street in Chicago. He's been at the docks. But where's he going to be this week? It's part of the game. We're calling it the Tony D'Angelo Predictor. Right,
he got you in the accent.
I realized I can't say that. I can't really do it in the accent, so I just abandoned it. Huh? I abandoned it like my first wife, huh? So anyway, what are we doing here? Yeah. So I predict. I teased this last week, guys. You have to give me a location and a weight. Okay. It can't be a location he's been in. And it can't be a word this guy's ever said. That's what I need from you. And then we'll see who wins the game tomorrow on the NXT 2.0 review. I'll tell you what, Michael Sidgwick, why don't you go first?
Of course, Mike. Look, I'll do the voices, don't worry. But I don't want to be too canceled.
No.
I have to like hang the lantern on the fact that it's them who's doing the caricature. That's wrong. Look, I think because mafia cliche, pretty problematic caricature, right? Plus edgy content initiative, strippers. It's gonna be the strippers. You're gonna see some tits, you're gonna see some ass, you're gonna see lips actually. So it's going to be the strippers. It's going to be the strippers. The matter being,
hey, the women from Raw Underground haven't been busy since that all closed down.
The skirting around the trademark version of the Bada Bing, so the Bada Boom. It's going to be at the Bada Boom strip club, and he's going to be talking about how he likes to mix business with pleasure. That's going to be the word. But the word he's going to say, because at some point he has to talk about how he's very wrestling. Now he's going to be even better at wrestling when he's in NXT. And at the strippers, he's going to say, and all these guys. He's going to, LTST is going to list off some of the names of the people he's going to have wrestle matches. They're going to wrestle me. They're going to be so scared. They're going to be on the lam.
Oh, I like that. I like that a lot.
Nice.
Hamflet, your predictions?
Well, it's going to be wrong because Cedric's right, because his has got tits and ass and lips. They've already advertised it, so he's bang on. I had my location was going to be hot dog stand, because the guy's got money and meat. So he goes and he collects, and this is my word, he's going to go collect a payoff. A guy, a hot dog stand, is going to give him some money, and they're going to say, and this is the only fresh meat that I like getting paid for. I see a lot of fresh meat on NXT, and I want to get a lot of payoffs. And there you go.
And finally, my prediction, again, simple. Okay, he's going to be in the casino. Of course he is, because everybody wants to win big in the casino. He wants to win big in NXT 2.0, okay? And what he's going to say is, I've had my hand in many businesses, legitimate, not so legitimate, if you know what I mean, okay? I got to the word yet, okay? And he says, some people like to try their luck, but I like to play games where I know I'm going to win, which is why I'm coming to dominate NXT 2.0. I'm not going to be like these, here's the word, schmucks here in this casino. I was genuinely surprised when you told me he hasn't already said that word.
You just made it up on his behalf.
Yeah. He's going to say these schmucks gambling their money away. It's not going to be like me. I'm going to be getting paid every night because I'm going to be smashing people like I got 22 in a game of blackjack.
This is Jake Roberts.
This is Jake Roberts. Yeah, LTST. Okay. I'm genuinely buzzed to see which one we're on. Because I feel one of us is almost definitely right. So we'll see how it plays out tomorrow. But, hey, you listeners, you wise guys, you want to get involved?
Get involved in the action.
At What Culture WWE, send me your Tony D'Angelo predictions. And if you're anywhere close, you schmuck, maybe I'll give you a little mention tomorrow.
How about that,
Angela? But you have to do it in a reply to the tweet with this podcast on, because I can't be asking for the replies.
We're all about engagement around here.
Hey, reply guy. Yeah?
So yeah, let us know. I'm so excited. This is my favorite part of the week. Let us know your thoughts. It's probably because it's the longest time to roll. Ahead of NXT 2.0.
I thought Robinson was getting better.
At What Culture WWE on Twitter. Why say you can follow all three of us? You can follow Michael Hamflet at
Michael Hamflet.
You can follow Michael Sidgwick at
M. Sidgwick.
You follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at What Culture WWE. And make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from. The Daily Wrestling Podcast, already out right now, is our Raw review and our AEW Rampage review and our review of NXT 2.0. And the results of the Tony D'Angelo Predictor is going to be out tomorrow. So subscribe to What Culture Wrestling for that. But for now, this has been the NXT 2.0 preview. My thanks to the Dally Boys. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.